Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're still virtual. We're not back in our usual home inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to that day sometime soon. In the meantime, if you want a more personal experience with your bank, you're tired of 1-800 numbers, computer-generated voices, or maybe just your bank ignoring you because you're not big enough to get on their radar screen. Well, I've got an answer that involves picking up the phone and calling the folks at Renaissance Bank. And you can find their local offices on their website, renaissancebank.com. Some 200 across the South open and ready to serve you. And when you find your local office, give them a call and talk to a live person. They'll actually answer the phone over there. And make an appointment, go in and see them, and I think you'll be glad you did. I've used them. I've got clients that have used them, and they've got a great experience. They've had a great experience using them. So I highly recommend Renaissance Bank. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Ralph Pescarello, and Ralph is with Snellings Walters Insurance. Ralph, welcome.
Hey, thanks, John.
Great to have you.
Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. And it's timely to have you back, and we'll get to why in a second. But for those that don't know you, why don't you introduce yourself and tell them who you are and how you're serving folks out there.
Yeah, thanks, John. So my name is Ralph Pescarello, and I'm with Snellings Walters Insurance here in Atlanta. We're probably one of the largest independently owned insurance brokers here in the Southeast. I've been there a little over 10 years, and I think this is about the third time I've been with John on this show in, in 10 years. We like to spread it out a little bit. That's good. And the good thing also is that, you know, things change, and we're going to get into that today. I do property and casualty, which is workers' comp and general liability and all the professional liability stuff, which is a lot of fun. But my passion, as John knows, is really in the professional insurance ends, and that is with cyber liability, errors and omissions, you know, reps and warranties and things like that that really affect and that kind of dive into a lot of the deeper coverages that companies need today. So that's kind of my what I do.
Your MO. Let's define that for folks that don't know what that is or maybe are need a refresher, because I think there are what exactly is cyber liability coverage?
So there are, and that's a good question. So depending on the industry that you're in, that really dictates where we go. You know, I'm kind of a quarterback, and I choose from, you know, 10 different good cyber carriers that I use, but it's not a one shoe fits all type of scenario. And that's important that you get the right coverage, but a good cyber policy will pay for remediation cost, restoration cost. You know, we need to shut everything down. We need to bring a team in to find out forensically what has happened. Are the bad guys still in your computer? What did they do? Was it a ransom attack where they freeze your computers? Did they just steal information? Are they still in the computer? Or did they completely just wipe out all of your computers? And that's a term called bricking. And bricking is when basically your computers are rendered useless. And that has happened to some big companies, and with claims in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And when that happens, it's not pretty. The bad guys do it kind of for the heck of it, and there's really no revenue in it for them unless it's an espionage act. But there are so many, we could talk about that for days. There are just so many different types of cyber crime that happen, from the little stuff to the big stuff. But the good thing is that a good cyber policy will pay for those damages, notification cost. If you have thousands of records on hand, it'll pay for all of those notification costs, third-party damages, et cetera. And it also pays, you know, obviously for first-party damages, which is my company, your company, and damages that have occurred to you. And that third party is also very important. Did I pass on malware and ransomware to everyone else in my database? You know, are they going to come after me because it came from my system? So it gets really, you know, years ago, John, we spoke about data breach, and that was when I started off data breach insurance, you know, and that was simple. You know, if your data got released, here's what the damages were. And it was a simple math to figure that out. How many records do we have? How many were exposed, et cetera? But that was 10 years ago, and now it's just a full-blown cyber war. And, you know, the data breach is old news. That's old hat. We don't even basically concern ourselves with that anymore, which is sad, but yeah, that's the truth.
I was going to say, that seems like the good old days compared to what we're going through today, right?
Yeah.
I guess for those that there are a lot of folks that maybe don't, for their business, they don't maybe acknowledge the fact or understand the fact that data is an asset that needs to be insured, right? And even for businesses that aren't quote unquote information intensive, quote unquote.
Absolutely. the data, whether it's a personal data or health data, and that brings up another point that I want to make, John. So if you're a medical, I insure some medical IT companies, and if you have medical information, which is called PHI, that's personally identifiable health information, if you may have thousands of records like that, if that does get exposed, there are several bylaws or, if you would, standards that you have to abide by, and those are laws. HIPAA comes in, and HIPAA is a regulating body of health information. They will fine you. The fines can be up to $1 million or several million dollars. They're real bad guys, but they're protecting information. Also, the notification cost, obviously. But again, if there's any above 500 records, if 500 records or more are exposed, you have to make that public. So there are a lot of breaches that go by without the public knowing about it and public awareness. We see that a lot in the manufacturing sector. Manufacturers last year, ransom attacks and malware attacks were up over 500% last year. That's huge. How are they affected? So they don't care maybe about data or personal records or things like that, but damages for them is business interruption. The bad guys are going in, they're either bricking or they're damaging operating systems, or they're giving you ransom attacks to prevent you from working. And that's where a lot of the big damage is with some of these manufacturers. It's business interruption. You know, so if, for instance, I insure someone out near Six Flags, they do, you know, $500 million per year in manufacturing. So if they're down for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, that's a lot of revenue, extremely amount of good amount of revenue. Mm-hmm. I went in there a few years ago and insured them. And when I walked in the door, they had $1 million cyber policy, which really wouldn't get them enough revenue to pay for a parking spot, you know, at court, because it was going to be huge. And that's the trouble. That's what I see a lot of, John, that people have policies. Actually, a lot of companies don't have policies. But 80% of the companies that I go in and do an assessment, they have not enough insurance, not nearly enough, or the right type of insurance. And that's important. And I say that's important because things have shifted, like you and I spoke of earlier. Mm-hmm. Things have shifted now to more cyber crime, which means not only a cyber insurance policy, but a crime insurance policy needs to be in place with specifics like social engineering coverages, duping coverages, invoice manipulation coverages, things like that that are not standard on a crime policy. So the changes, the world has changed. The risks have changed, and all of these coverages are changing all the time. So,
folks, we're here chatting with Ralph Pasquarello, and Ralph is with Snelling's Walters Insurance. Ralph, you mentioned a key phrase there, not standard coverage. I mean, this is where you really need to have a someone like you that can walk folks through what's covered and what's not. And there's a lot that is not covered unless it's specifically named in some sort of policy add-on, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. The last thing I want to do, John, is pick up the phone and a client asks me, this happened, are we covered for it? And I have to say, no, I'm sorry. You know, either A, we spoke about that last year and you decided you didn't want to add it, or B, hey, I dropped the ball, I'm sorry, but hopefully the A scenario is more applicable. I'll give you a good for instance, too, on that. A local, and they're in Alpharetta, but there's a local IT consulting firm that I insure. And when I went in there to assess their policies, and I was not their agent at the time, but their errors and omissions policy, which gets tied into cyber also, did not cover subcontractors. Mm. So no one ever read page 297 of their policy that says exclusions subcontractors. So when I walked in and I did read that and I was prepared, I asked them how many subcontractors they had, and they said, well, it's about 70% of our workforce.
Oh my.
Which are a couple of hundred employees that are not covered. And I said, well, did you know that your subcontractors aren't covered? And they said, of course they are. I said, no, they're not. It says so right here. And so that was a day that I walked out with that account.
Sure.
My briefcase. And it's been a good story ever since. And that was about 8 years ago. But, you know, it's just, you just don't know. Wind coverage on a tornado comes through and rips off your roof, but you find out that you didn't have roof coverage or something crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So these are the type of things that we see in the professional world. And it's sad to see that people just don't, they're not detailed enough. You know, I'm so high detailed. I drive my clients crazy because I want to make sure they stay in business. Mm. You know, I mean, general liability and commercial auto and workers' comp and all that stuff is easy. I do that with my eyes closed. But when it comes to a lot of these new risks, I mean, it's doom and gloom. You know, if this stuff happens, it can put you out of business. Mm. I don't want to see that. You know, I love my clients, good people, and you know, I want to make sure they are in business, because if I lose them, I lose my income.
Sure. So, sure. Well, let's get into that for people that don't know. And I think a lot of people do, but some people maybe they need a reminder. I mean, you don't work for the insurance companies. I mean, you're an independent broker, which puts you in a much different position than the insurance companies themselves. So explain what I mean by that.
Yes, correct. So we are an independent broker, meaning we have 200 insurance companies that we can choose from. When I go in and I meet with a client, I tell them up front, I work for you. I am your layout. I'm your conduit between, the policies that are out there and the correct policies that are out there for you. You know, you can go on almost online and buy a cyber policy, but I, God forbid you have a claim. You probably wouldn't get paid for half of the things. And I've seen that like once in the last 10 years where someone actually bought a policy online. But yes, the correct coverages and the correct carriers are very, very important. And I do see that a lot, John, where I walk in and it just, the shoe doesn't fit. You know, there are some overseas carriers that people use a lot. I don't like them. It's just a policy with no backing. And when I say no backing, so some of the policy, some of the carriers that I use, most of them on the cyber end, will have a cyber team. So, you know, pre-breach or pre-incident, you have had discussions with attorneys, with forensics, with IT people, with all sorts of people on that team, so that when the event happens, you already have the phone numbers. They already know who you are. And there is a relationship there in place. So when that event happens, you pick up the phone, they know who you are. We've established that. And there's a team backing that with some support. It's not just a policy on paper. It actually has a response team and some depth behind it. And that's what I like. Because when this happens, it is, you know, the building's burning down. You better know who to call. And the numbers to for who to call better not be in your computer. That's another that's another tip for the day.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised when I speak to people. I say, well, who would you call? Well, we'd call so and so. So where's his number? Well, I have it in my computer. Well, if you have no access to your computer and the fireman's number is in the computer, you're SOL, as we say.
Yep. You know? Yep. To use a technical term, right? Yeah.
So write it down, write all that information down and give it to several people in your company and have your contacts printed out.
Mm.
It's a very, very important thing that we forget.
Mm. So. Folks, we're chatting with Ralph Pasquarello, and Ralph is with Snelling's Walters Insurance, and a cyber liability expert. Of course, Ralph, I got to get to the question of the day, which, you know, I can't go through any interview right now without asking how the pandemic has affected what you know, your business. Maybe specifically talk about the increased risk that you see out there because that's really come on with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And what folks need to do beyond just making sure they got the right coverages, what they need to do with their coverages.
Mm-hmm. So due to the pandemic, obviously there are a lot of people that are working from home. The bad guys know that they have all the information, but the key to defending ourselves. So let me back up a little bit. The opportunity for a bad guy to go in and attack John Ray at home because he's working from home. Social engineering has made it easy for these criminals. The more information that you put out there, the easier it is for them to look you up, know where you work, and target you. And it's very, very simple. Again, we had one of my best clients called me about 3 weeks ago. And I believe it was a Monday morning, but the story was one of their employees got an email on her personal email that her Amazon account had been, either corrupt or something happened to it, and she needed to call the 800 line helpline on the Amazon account. So she did that.
Mm.
Of course, it was a criminal on the other end. He gained access to her computer. And from doing that, they gained access because of the remote VPN for her company and passwords and all of that to be able to hack into my client's server.
Oh, boy.
So, luckily, we caught it in time. There was no information that was exfiltrated. But the problem was now there had been a breach. So we had to report it because it was an IT type company, sensitive information. So there was a breach. We did contact the carrier and we got some forensics guys out on the spot. I've had it before where I had to call in the Secret Service or the FBI for forensics with some of these that have been international type affairs. And those guys are great, by the way. I want to put in a plug in for the local Secret Service guys who are just probably some of the best forensics that I've ever dealt with. They're just fantastic. But yes, please beware. You have employees working at home. It's all about education, John. You got to be vigilant. You know, if you see something come in like that, you know what? Don't respond to the phone number on an email because the bad guy's sitting there waiting for you. You need to two-factor authenticate and verify everything. I mean, it's just so important. I verify everything. Even if my kids send me a link in an email, I call them. I said, hey, you know, Nick, did you send me this? You know, did you send me this? Yes, Dad, I did. Okay. So now what we do is we put in a password on our emails. So I put in a, Mickey Mouse loves you at the end of every email or something, you know, that he knows it's from me and nobody else would know that phrase. So I put it right in the email. But then again, if the bad guy gets access to your email account, you know, they may pick up on that. They may not. So it's just so, so important to educate your employees, not to open up attachments. Don't click on things. Don't respond. Don't react so quickly. You know, think about it, run it by somebody else, try to two-factor it. And because these guys are so good, they are so good. I've seen stuff that is like, yeah, I would open that up in a minute. You know, and they prey on you and they know, and it's a $20 billion industry this year. That's what the cybercrime will be this year.
Wow.
$20 billion. So it's no longer the 200 to 300 million. We're way beyond that point now. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, it does. And, and you touched on something I wanted to get to, which is, cause I've been to several panels or, sessions that you've, where you've organized, the session or moderated a panel. And, one of the things that comes out again and again is that employees unwittingly are typically the kind of the front door for this activity. And that's something you mentioned, but I wish you'd dive into that and what business owners ought to do in terms of employee education.
You know, that's your weakest link. That is, you know, I deal with so many cybersecurity companies and great people around Atlanta. Atlanta has probably some of the best minds in the cybersecurity industry. We have some fantastic companies locally, some of them that you know, John. I mean, these guys are really, really good. They're great at their game. But, you know, when I ask them, hey, if my company installs your software or this, I mean, there are so many different layers of cybersecurity. There's endpoint. There's, you know, there's just probably every big company probably needs three or four different vendors to properly secure them. And it's not just one vendor because one vendor can't do it all. It's impossible. But I always ask them, you know, are we 100% secure? Can you guarantee it? And they look at me and they say, of course not. You know, nobody's 100% secure. We cannot stop everything. And it's just the truth. They can't. And the weakest link is usually an employee, or it could be a gap or a fix or something that's not patched properly. And these guys are so quick. I mean, now that they have artificial intelligence on the bad guy side, the analytics and all the algorithms are lightning fast. I mean, lightning fast. They can try and decrypt your password at a point of 25 million tries per second.
Wow.
per second. So if you think your password is, you know, John Ray 123, John, you're going to get hacked real quick. If they want in, they want in, and they just have a program that they click on, and it descrambles passwords at a lightning rate. It's incredible. Mm. So that's another tip. You know, make sure your passwords are a passphrase, not a password. You know, I have anything that's really important to me is 14 or 15 characters long. Mm. You know, bank accounts online, double encryption, two-factor authentication, all that fun stuff. But you know, it is your employee is your weakest link, because somebody may click on something. You know what? They click on something, a link or a video, a cat video or something, so nothing happens. No big deal. Well, I guess there's no virus, there's no malware. Well, guess what? The average length, and I think you've heard this before, John, the average length of time that a bad guy's in your computer, all right, and in your system before actual detection is about 225 days.
Wow.
So that's the average length. Mm. And the reason is they're good. They come in. A lot of them don't come in with a bang. They come in, they tiptoe in, and they sneak around, and they get everything that they want, all the information they want. And the longer they stay in there, the better it is for them. Mm-hmm. And then what they do is, and I hate this, but on their way out, they encrypt everything, and then they hit you with ransomware. Mm. So it's a real kick in the gut on the way out. So. Sure. You know, now they're going to make you pay. They've been in there. They've been in your kitchen eating all your food, right? And then when they leave your house, they lock it from the outside so you can't get out.
You know, oh, boy. Yeah.
It's that type of scenario. But.
Well, so, okay. So if I'm a business owner listening to this, Ralph, you scared me half to death. So I need to talk to you. Talk about how you work with a client, a new client, let's say, and how you make an evaluation and a recommendation as to the kind of coverages they should have.
That's a good point. So new clients, a lot of times they get recommended or brought in, referred in from attorneys or from CPAs or something of that sort. Or actually a cyber company, which happens a lot, that they have seen that either a company doesn't have coverage or they have not enough coverage. I'll do an assessment. I always go in and tell people, look, I'm not going to charge you for an assessment. I'm not going to bill you for that. And a lot of times, John, they, you know, after I leave, I say, look, here's what you need to fix. You have two or three things that are, you know, not that important, or you may have three or four things that are critical. That holy cow, I cannot believe that you don't have coverages for these. Mm. In those instances, I offer a potential client or a prospect, look, I can fix this, or your broker can fix it. If you want to bring this, my assessment to your broker, you have him fix it. I make nothing. I'm out of the picture. If you really have lost confidence in your broker and you think that this is a something that you need to move on and find let's say an upgrade, right, in broker, mm-hmm. I'd be willing to take you on as a client. So, and it's about a 50-50% when that happens. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, they've had their broker for 20 years, you know, they're never going to part from them. And that's fine. And I understand that. Loyalty is great. But there comes a time where, look, if this breach cost you $2.5 million out of your pocket, I don't care how long of a relationship and a friend that broker is, it's still $2.5 million that someone needs to pay for.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, business is business. If I'm not good enough for my clients to keep me as their broker, I deserve to be fired. You know, if I'm not on top and I'm not covering them with proper coverage. And a lot of times my phone call to clients is, look, I know I'm a pain in the neck And I know this is going to cost you another $1,000 for next year, but we need to add another couple endorsements. Mm. And they complain, but they say, you know, some of them don't. Some of them like, okay, we need it. Yep, we need it. So, yeah. And that's it. But yes, introductions for me and assessments, and I need to earn my keep. You know, I just can't go in and say, hey, I'm going to beat the other guy's price. Because when that happens, John, you lose clients on price. You know, there's always somebody willing to undercut you with some insurance that is just not worthy of even the premium you're paying now. So I do my due diligence. I would say accredit it towards the, I read a book one time, you probably heard of that, Go Givers, you know,
yep,
sell more.
And, Bob and Berg.
It's,
yeah.
It's important. It's important for me to say, look, I'll come in, I'll look at it. And I'll help you out. Why not? You know, if I don't get your business, you may tell your next door neighbor who's got a bigger business than you. Hey, I met a really great guy. He did us a favor. He didn't charge us anything. Mm. And that good goes around. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. Well, Ralph, you mentioned the IT consulting firm where you really helped them out on their contractors being uninsured. And maybe that's one example, but I'd love it if you would share maybe a success story that you're particularly proud of.
You know, there were several. I would probably say it's either a large financial company that I went in and insured that had no cyber insurance at all, and that was a referral from a cyber liability guy. Or another manufacturer that I insure here in Atlanta, it wasn't a cyber. It was called an EPLI. And EPLI is employment practices liability insurance. And that's where your employees can sue you for multiple things. I mean, like 20 different things, you know, harassment, wrongful termination, discrimination, any of that stuff. And when I started off and finally insured this company, I said, you know, you don't have any employment practices liability insurance. And the president of the company said, oh, we don't need that. We treat all our employees really, really good. And then the CFO said, well, we don't treat them that good. How much is that going to cost? And it was cheap. It was a big company. So it might've been $3,000 or $4,000. Fast forward like 2 years later, the president of the company, who I know, called me and said, hey, Ralph, I need to ask you a question. I said, yes, what is it? Did we buy that foolish insurance you were talking about, you know, for the if we fire somebody? And I said, the EPLI? He said, yes. I said, yeah, you did. He said, well, we fired one of the officers of our company. She came in over the weekend. She trashed the place. She stole a bunch of stuff. She's suing us for $1.5 million. And I just wanted to make sure that we had that insurance in place. And I said, yes, you do. Mm. We will cover everything. Have a great day.
Wow.
And he, every time I see him, he's like, oh, thank God you pushed us into buying that policy. I said, well, it's like standard coverage. You know, it's something that I can't believe you didn't have. Everybody fires people. You know, if a guy comes in and he's late every single day and you fire him, he's going to go get an attorney down the EEOC office and he's going to sue you for as much as he wants, you know, and then you're going to write a check or you're going to go to court. Either way, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So I like that in that. It's still in today's world, John, a lot of companies don't have that type of policy. It's very, very important that you do have it because in these times, people do strange things. Everyone sues everyone. You know, people get desperate. And then the other thing, of course, is a lot of the cyber, you know, good cyber stories that are written, and then people have had claims afterwards and we've paid for the claims. And I have some really sad stories, too, of clients of mine that I said, you need it, you need it, you need it. and they didn't purchase it. And you know the end of that story. One is I just visited with the other day, was still chasing $250,000, and it's stuck in the Ukraine right now in a bank. And that's been ongoing for about 6 months. We're trying to get that money back. Wow. But again, invoice manipulation. So,
Well, Ralph, this has been great. And I want to get to the most important question, which is, as for some folks, which is how to get in touch with you so you can read their fine print and see if they are under or non-insured for some of the risk you've talked about. So if you could share your contact information, that'd be great.
I knew you were going to ask me that, John. And it's a real long, it's rpascarello@snellingswalters.com. Good luck with that spelling. your best bet is to get on the, our website, which is snellingswalters.com here in Atlanta. And we have a list of all our people there, or call in. There's a, I'll give you the telephone number on the main line, and my, I'll give you my direct line, which is easier. It's 770-508-3013, and that is my direct line. Or go to our website, snellingswalters.com, and you can look me up. I am in the directory there, and we have our bios and all that stuff online, so you'll see me. It's Ralph Pascarello. And anytime, or contact John Ray. He has my information.
That, for sure.
And it's even easier. John, I'll give you a 1% of 1%.
There you go. Sounds like a deal. But no, seriously, we will have your information on the show page, folks. So if you need to get to Ralph and you're driving down the road, just check out our show page and we'll have a link there and you can head right to him. But Ralph, this has been great. It's always good to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some tasks that involve administrative work, bookkeeping, maybe some marketing issues that you need to get off your desk and off to someone that's better equipped to get them done for you, give Essie Escobedo a call at Office Angels. She has been in business now for 20 years, been virtual all that time, so this pandemic environment does not affect them in any way. And give her a call. What she'll do is she'll find out what problem that you need or what that you've got, and she'll recommend an angel that will fly in, get the work done, and fly back out. And they work on an ongoing or as needed basis, and they're not a temp agency or a placement firm. They just do the work as needed. So go to officeangels.us, or better yet, just give her a call, 770-442-9246, Essie Escobedo there at Office Angels, and tell her we sent you. And also, folks, as we wrap up here, you can find this show on all the major podcast applications, or Fulton Business Radio is a search term, and we are now on show number, I don't know, over 300, but we've been around. So we've got a terrific archive of shows, and we would love it if you go to our podcast, your favorite podcast app, give us a great rating so that people can find the show, because, and they can find great guests like Ralph, because we want to highlight them and the services they provide and the good work that they do. We're also on social media, North Fulton BRX, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. So for my guest, Ralph Pascarello, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.